All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, TSN1050.ca. And up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, and Jonas Siegel in studio from The Athletic. What's happening, Jonas?
What's up, boys?
How are we feeling about your Toronto Maple Leafs? Looking pretty good these days. That was another dominant performance last night. What I'm seeing.
That's kind of what you need to see from them this year, isn't it?
Well, ideally, if they're going to take another big step. Yeah, I mean, it's the regular season. It's game four, but that's two games in a row. On Saturday night, they played really well, and I thought they played as well as you could possibly expect them to play last night.
It's like the message was we received, Hayes, and you can take it from the eye test side of the sport or the analytical side.
Nice.
At the end of the day, when talented players, when players of that ilk,
yes,
like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and John Tavares, William Nylander is not quite on board yet with what the other guys are doing. But when they work that hard to get the puck and keep the puck, you're going to have results. It's very simple. And those guys have committed to it. I don't know why it wasn't a standard 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but they've understood that they should be the hardest working players every time they go over the boards. And when they do that, they have an excellent chance to win the game. That's the
Absolutely.
End of the story.
That's
and if you look at John Tavares, every time he's on the ice, he's got a bit of a snarl to him. He's got an edge to him. He's gritty. He's getting in there. He's punching guys in the head. I love it. They're just working hard every time. Austin and Matthews, he's probably saying to himself, what's going on here? I go and lose the weight. I'm flying out there, but I got one goal. But he doesn't need to worry. Maybe he influences the game in a back check late in the second period that helps the team win. It's not quite goals right now, but he doesn't have to worry about that because John Tavares is holding the fort offensively. So is Mitch Marner. And when it's his time to come up offensively, he's going to do it. I wouldn't surprise me tomorrow night he scored four times.
He's got a lot of chances, too. It's not like
he's shooting from everywhere. He looks unbelievable. He's flying up and down the ice. But big picture what it looks like. If those guys are moving and skating and hustling, whatever angle you view hockey, and I really don't care what angle you view it from. If you want to be a nerd, the way Jonas views the game, and look at numbers and make it a stat pack, go ahead.
I think I'm more in the middle, by the way, but okay.
Jonas, don't kid yourself. You've completely jumped ship. You're an analytic guy now, and you know
that is hogwash.
No, I'm just
saying.
You used to be eye test. You used to be on team eye test, and you jumped ship.
No, I'm on both sides. I'm on both sides.
Wouldn't you agree with my point that regardless
yes.
the way you look at it, if those players work hard, they're going to have the puck more. They're going to have possession.
Yeah.
They're going to have better numbers, create more chances, and it's all basically the same thing.
Well, and you know,
the best players have got the message.
Yes, but the best players have been pretty good. Like, Matthews was really good last year.
No kidding.
But you know what was impressive last night? Like, they pounded the Jets, and they were matched up against really good players. Like,
I don't know what they did the night before, but I wish they had invited
There's
me.
Nothing to do.
Blake Wheeler is a really good player in the league. I'd never seen him play that bad.
Yeah,
I think he was injured.
Outing for him last night. I didn't think Scheifele had a couple of chances, but I didn't think he posed any will in the game whatsoever. I didn't think anybody stood out. Like, Hellebuck made some really good stops. If it wasn't for Hellebuck, that's 5-1, 6-1. The Jets looked like a team that was lacking a couple of players on the back end, which they were, and they've got some depth issues. I mean, that's the story of kind of every team in the country. Montreal's the outlier. And Ottawa might be a little bit because they're a little bit further behind. Ottawa or Montreal, I think, again, has depth. I like their 1-6, and I like their goaltending. Like, I like the way they're built. I don't see a lot of imbalance throughout the lineup. The question is going to be with Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. Okay, we know about your high-end guys. Whoever wins that battle is going to be in a really good position, and so far it looks like the Leafs are in a great spot to do that, and I think they should. I think the Leafs' high-end talent is the best high-end talent in the country. There's a couple of other teams that are close, and before you start yelling and screaming in Edmonton, I know about those two guys. Yes, no one can match those two guys. But once you get beyond those two, then I would look at the Leafs, top 5, 6, 7 guys as deeper and more talented and more ability to open up a game and change a game. But it's going to be, can the depth guys perform and produce in any capacity? And can you sharpen up your defensive play? Like, that is the race, because that's probably going to determine who wins the division or certainly who makes the playoffs.
And goaltending.
And, of course, goaltending. But that goes without – that's for 100 years. Right, like, of course, goaltending. And you're right. And Freddie, to his credit, played really well last night. Wasn't
really
tested
good.
A lot early, but was steady. Third period, made some big stops and held on to 2 points. And, you know, the Leafs are looking good.
That back end, too. I like what I saw from Brody again last night. He kept it simple because he was close because that game in Ottawa, the first one in Ottawa, he was awful. And I'm like, God, I don't want this to start like this for this guy because I know what happens to free agent defensemen in this market when things start going down the tube. But I think he just realized simple, smart, get the puck to Morgan Rielly, get it out of trouble. And I thought the kid in the 6 minutes of ice time, I thought the kid Lehkonen.
He's not a kid.
He's 26, but he looked comfortable. And it
no,
looks
he's
like,
27.
Okay, we're splitting hairs. Right? I didn't say he was 19, Jonas. Like, that's why you're on team.
That's why I know the numbers.
That's why you're about the numbers. That's why you're about the numbers, exactly. But, yeah, he looked fine. And I guess Sheldon Keefe said today they're going to continue with that. And I think there's a couple of reasons why he would feel somewhat optimistic about that. Last night they played well. Mm-hmm. I think Sheldon Keefe is the kind of coach that is comfortable with, you know, mixing up lines. He's been doing it a lot since he got here to Toronto when he was doing with the Marlies. I get the impression he did it when he was with Sault Ste. Marie. Not every coach can do that. Like, some coaches just have their lines and they look for their battles and they stick to it. You know, oh, you've been on a bunch of benches. Some coaches, their minds will explode if they're constantly moving lines around. And and that's what he seems to do pretty well.
But
and
I think Pat Quinn, that wasn't even an option.
No, like, it was just one guy. Mats, you're up. And that means the wingers are going with him.
Like, that's right.
That's it, right? Like, that was the old school way. It was you picked the center, you said his name, and then that whole line went out. And Sheldon Keefe seems comfortable with that, and I think the players seem comfortable with it as well. I think it says something about maybe how the Leafs and Sheldon Keefe feel about the depth as well. Like, I don't think he loves a 12 forward right now. I don't think he loves Barabanov. Obviously, Nick Robertson is not available to him. Doesn't seem overly impressed with Pierre Engvall or, you know, Boyd or any of these other guys. So that might factor in too. But listen, you win a game and you play like that. Why wouldn't you continue with it? You know, tomorrow night when Edmonton's in town.
I think come playoff time is where he's going to be searching for that, because you're not going to be rolling through playoff series in a run to a finals or a conference finals not using a bench. It's just not possible. But for right now, I think he's thinking, these are the guys that are going to get it done for me. Jason Spezza, whoever else I'm going to toss in there for whatever it is, kind of spot duty. Win me a faceoff, kill me a penalty, and then let's have the big boys get the work done, whether it be power play or 5-on-5.
But that's like a must. Like, they have to be able to trust Alex Kerfoot in that line in a playoff series against good competition. And that's
they're
like,
going to have to find a line behind that to trust them too, Jonas.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know who that is. Like, I don't know. I still think it's very much up in the air what they're going to get from, like, that fourth line. But if those top two lines play like that, they're...
It's very tough to match. Yeah. It's very tough to match when, again, the rest of the team is rounding out. And the rest of the team, for the most part, played well last night, played well on Saturday night. You know, you can see they're putting an emphasis on transition, moving the puck quickly, keeping it out of your zone, diffusing any issues within your zone. I think they did a very good job of that last night and did a very good job of that on Saturday. I'm not surprised that Matthews and Marner are doing what they're doing. This is what they should be doing. Matthews is a top 10 player in the world. Marner's a top 20. They're 23 years old and just stepping into their prime. They should be playing a lot. They should be producing a lot. It's exactly what they're doing. I think the key to the big four all along has been, yeah, can Tavares and Nylander not necessarily keep up at the exact pace, but close. And that's
hold
exactly what they've done.
The bargain.
That's exactly what they've done. Like, Tavares and Nylander have been exceptional for this team. Like, they've been outstanding. And John Tavares looks like he did 2 years ago. You know, we noticed it during the blue and white game on the Saturday night. Remember, we came in on the Monday and said he looks like he's skating better. Like, he just looks like he's more comfortable. He looks like he got a full off season of preparation, where he wasn't dealing with an injury like he was last summer,
mm-hmm,
and he looks like he did 2 years ago. And when that is the case, you've got one of the best players in the league. He's been that for 13 years,
and he looks outstanding. And I don't even know if this is a level Nylander wants to get to or can get to, but I'm pretty critical because I watch him closely, and he was great opening night. He had those great two goals. You're like, this is such a talent, and it is such a talent. But if you just watch closely, shift in and shift out, if there's something difficult involved, whether it's fighting through a check or getting to the corner where somebody's nasty in there, he generally will find a way to not show up on time to get that puck. But if you make it easy on him, he will destroy you. He'll go through passes, he'll make great passes, and he'll come up. And as long as he does what he did last night, he made an outstanding play in the power play, and that was a big difference in the game.
You don't think you're too hard on him sometimes?
No, I don't, Jonas. I used to play in the league. I know what a guy can do.
I'm familiar with that. I didn't.
I'm not trying to big league it, but I know what a guy can do and a guy can't do. There is more for him to give on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
It's just the element of when things are tough, he does not show up as good as he can. And I know it's being picky, and he's got 4 points or whatever he's got, but there is more there for him.
It's like a 5% thing. Like, if he gives you 5% more, like in the playoffs is what we're talking about, right? Like, they need him to kind of, like...
If he wants to be the best possible player that he can be, which should be his ultimate goal, there's situations in every game where it's like, he could take it to the net, take a guy wide, but he'll just be like, you know what, that might be too difficult, so I'm going to turn up right now, and I'm going to look through a play through the offensive zone, and it's got to be kind of easy. It's got to be on my turn.
Yeah, but then you forget about all those plays when he picks, like, he's...
Jonas, why do you... Are you his dad? You and other people support this guy like he could do no wrong.
No,
it's like, give me a break.
I don't think that. I agree with you, but I also do think, like, we ignore all those times he picks the
puck. Dude, I'm not ignoring. I just said how much he can contribute. All I'm saying is there's more. And you and all your buddies, it's like you're his uncle, and you get so pissed off that anybody has anything critical to say about the
guy. You know what I'm going to start to do?
Give me a break. Why do we say anything on this show?
I'm going to start emailing you what I write about Nylander, just so you can see. I'm going to email you everything I write about Nylander, because I know you're not subscribed to The Athletic. So I'll just email you what I write so you can log it, and you know that I'm saying some of the same things you're saying. Like, I'm saying in the playoffs especially, they need him to find another gear, and he hasn't had it. Like, that's 100% true. And
what
it's the
I'm
same
saying
thing,
to you is, if you watch game in and game out, there's small samples of that in
100%.
Every game. And that's all I'm saying. Why are you agreeing to it now? And
because
2 minutes ago, you were being ridiculous.
No.
Anyway, Hayes, change the subject.
Here would be my summary, because I would land... I think you guys are trying to get to a similar point.
Yes.
Where Nylander... He gets defended as if he's the only one that takes heat. Well, let's be honest. Mitch Marner took a lot over the past year and a half. John Tavares took a lot last year, because even though his game didn't really drop off that much, there were times where you're like, he's not pulling his weight. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I do know the reason. It's because, generally speaking, when someone comes up that has to be traded, it's Willie. So people take that personally. And then as a result, it seems like some Leaf fans, maybe a lot of Leaf fans, feel like, I've got to come in and defend this guy all the time, because you always want him traded, or this guy wants him traded, or this person wants him traded. And as a result, whenever there is a little bit of criticism about pockets of his game, it feels as if people are just running him out of town, and that's just not true. Like, no one's running him out of town, suggesting if we want to get this team, or this team wants to get to the best possible place it can get to, they need someone like William Nylander, who is a top five player on the team, to continue to grow. Like, we've asked of it with Matthews. We've asked of it with Marner. I think Riley can and will be better. Freddie Anderson takes a ton of heat. Got to be better. No one sits there and says, well, why are we bringing that up with Freddie? What about this?
And, Hayes, this is no time for heat. Like, I'm not putting heat on this guy.
He's been great. But here's what I think also doesn't get brought up enough. You're right. There are areas of his game that he needs to get better at, and I think he can get better at. There are other areas where I think he's very good that doesn't get enough attention.
Yes, that's what
I'm
saying.
And I think that's what Jonas is saying. I think his back pressure is actually elite, and it never comes up because it's not sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not using your body necessarily, but he'll make some smart defensive plays that don't get a lot of attention. And it's I understand why it can feel maybe imbalanced, but I don't think it actually is. I think people are just so sensitive to the fact that Nylander's name comes up if we're ever talking trades or cap issues, and then instead of being rational about it, people just say, forget it, you hate him and you're running out of town. And that's not true.
Not running anyone out of town.
No one's running anybody out of town.
Making an honest assessment of
his
play.
An accurate one.
Yeah,
it's an accurate one.
If he wants to be the best player he can be, he can play
better. He can
better
be better.
What, No kidding.
Yeah, he can be better. Doesn't mean.
And
he's
I would
not a
say if this
player,
team's going to win and have a successful run, a long run into the playoffs, he would be a main guy that would have to be better.
Yeah.
It can't be about Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews every night, guys. I don't know what I'm frustrated. I don't know what we're doing here. We're this conversation is like the Leafs have started 0-4.
Let's bring it 0-4. Back. Let's bring it back. Let me mention something.
Let's restart the show. Start the music. Start the beginning of the show.
We had it cooking early.
Can we do that?
3-1. They've looked very good. They played two very very good games.
I do want to ask you guys
in a row.
I think it's really interesting how they're using Tavares. Like, they're basically using him like the Sedin twins back in the day, where they're just starting him in the offensive zone every shift. They're playing him against third and fourth lines. I think that's really smart. I just think it's interesting, given like how it was when they first got Tavares, to how it is now. What do you think about that, guys?
I think that makes sense. I think it says something about Austin Matthews, and I think it's true. You know, I again, John Tavares has the ability, and he has been in this position for 13 years in the league, where he can be a very high impact player. He can be anywhere from like 11 to 30 in the league, and that's a very high end impactful player. Matthews is better. Like, it's not a shot at John. It's propping up Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Matthews has the ability to be a top five player in the world. He has the ability to be up for a Hart, win a Hart trophy. So if that's the case, if you've got that guy, put him in those situations. You know, and that's what has flipped here over the last year, year and a half, and understandably so. Matthews was a younger guy. He had to be kind of eased into the game. He had to find his spots. He was a little bit unreliable. Maybe he gambled a little bit too much. Maybe he was too soft on pucks, too soft on battles. By all accounts, Austin Matthews has arrived as a mature player in the league that wants every ounce of responsibility and wants to be the top dog. Hand it to him. And who's the beneficiary of that? John Tavares, who still is pulling his weight. You can still put him out there when need be, you know, in his own zone against an opposition's top line. It's not like he's immune to it, but I think it's just utilizing your bench properly. Put the best player in the position to carry your team and let everyone else just filter in appropriately. And that's
totally
what's happening
agree.
Here.
That's what sets your lineup. It allows everybody to have success. Austin Matthews, it's just like, you know what, whether it be Scheifele, Connor McDavid, it's a flip them every night. Maybe they might get me, but the majority of the times I'll get them, whatever it's going to be. And the rest of the guys should be licking their chops, saying whatever matchup I get tonight is in favor of what I'm going on the ice with. That's ideally what you want. Slot your team to have success.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what it is. And it's an interesting observation. I mean, it's early in the year as well. I think there could be a psyche element to that, Jonas. Like, we got to get him cooking and get him rolling and make
him
feel
good. Well,
the power
play too, right? Like, the power play to me makes sense. Like, he's getting all kinds of looks on the power play now. Like, you remember last year, like, you barely noticed he was out there just because the puck never came to him.
Yeah, exactly. Now everything goes through him.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting kind of, you know, filtering out of what's happening here, where last year the thought was put every big boy out there. Let's, like, remember Kadri a couple of years ago.
Was great there.
He was, but then when Tavares got here, just sat in the middle of the ice as a bumper but never got to shoot the puck.
Yeah.
And it was like, what's the point? Like, he's too talented for this. Put him on the second unit, let it filter through him, and you might have something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is exactly you've got guys who know where they fit in the pecking order.
I love what happened on the power play last night. Those guys were out there for 12. I think they had 12 seconds of power play time, and they, instead of having the pouty face and saying, "Oh, we didn't get our usual time," they said, "We got time for an opportunity to put something on net and make something happen after that," and that's exactly what happened. Muzzin had a shot from the point, and Jonas's son, William Nylander, made an unbelievable
great
play.
Great play. A plus.
What a great play, Jonas. Yeah. Well, if you ever want Jonas here, I'll do a favor, okay? I'll sit down with you and go through a game, and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Nice. We'll put it on The Athletic.
No, we won't do that, actually.
Just in real life?
Just in real life. I'll sit with you, and I'll show you some certain detail. And maybe you could go through some numbers with me and help explain it to
Done.
Me.
I think
and then,
we may have just hit on a marriage for the ages. I could see the two of you morphing into a superpower in the sport. Eye test and the numbers marrying.
Combined.
And combining and just becoming. What's the biggest super couple going right now? Not sure who that would be. It used to be, was it Brad Pitt and Angelina? Jolie, they're no longer together. That wouldn't work. But there's got to be a power couple.
Oh, it's J-Lo and A-Rod, isn't it?
J-Lo and A-Rod. Maybe we consider them the power couple going right now. I could see the O-Dog and Jonas, double J, getting together and minds exploding. Minds exploding. It's the last thing TSN or Myrtle want to hear right now.
I would love to do
go off in your own.
You know what?
Create your own media empire.
I would love to sit and, like, we'll do a case study and say, this is what happens when the eye test meets Jonas Numbers test, and we'll see what happens.
I like
we'll
it.
We'll do it.
I like
well,
it.
Sunday morning, we'll
it
have a coffee. We'll, no, you're not a
I
part
need to
of
be
it.
There. I need to be there. I want to be a part of it. You need a witness. You need a mediator, potentially someone to break it up, too, if it gets a little bit out of control. This is the time to get him, Jonas. He's got his arm
Jonas,
in the sling.
Jonas Nylander.
Yep, I like
Jonas
it. Jonas
Nylander.
Nylander. Dan Patrick coming up. Zach Hyman later in the hour. We got Brent Burns into the 6 p.m. hour. We got a lot going on today. The Jays are making signings and making hay. They are moving in
sort
the right
of.
Direction. Yeah. Somewhere.
Come on, dude.
Somewhere.
That's ridiculous.
We'll tell you about that. And how about the Raptors? 3 in a row with a big win last night. Man, they look good. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Zach Hyman later in the hour. Dan Patrick will join us here in just a moment. Overdrive continues. Brian Hayes and Team Joe Dog,
no.
Jonas Siegel, and the O-Dog coming together.
Why not just J-Dog?
J-Dog. I love it.
That's
I'm not. I'm Al's brother. Al's brother's my guy. I'm
all
not
right,
on
that's
his
fine.
Team.
Well, you two just agreed to this. I mean, you're going to get together.
I guess we have to see how it goes first.
I like it. I like it. What did we call it? Team Eye Test against Team
Corsi.
Corsi. Yeah. Team Eye Test versus Team Analytics.
And, Brian, who won that matchup every time? Who won the matchup?
We generally did, yes. Team Eye Test generally won. We always won. It wasn't generally. It was 100%.
They have never beat us.
Never beat us, but that doesn't mean they won't get there at some point. And this is a totally different story. This is breaking down hockey games and breaking down hockey tape. And I can't wait to see it happen. So we're going to make that happen at some point soon. And I'll be there. I have to be there to make sure the two of you get along. And once those two brains come together, man, we are talking about an explosion of analysis.
Earth-shattering.
Earth-shattering.
Earth-shattering
stuff.
Who's our next guest?
We have Dan Patrick on the line.
I want to ask Dan what he got, if he takes into account any sporting event, the numbers versus the eye test, because he's an old-school cat.
Here he is. You hear him every morning right here on TSN Radio. Here's Dan Patrick. Go ahead, O.
Dan, what do you think about that? You're probably a diehard ex-Whalers fan. Back in the day,
I was there for the last Whaler game.
A healthy scratch for that game, but anyway, it was fun. It was fun to watch. When you watch sports, do you take into account any kind of the new dynamic numbers that are out there, or is it any kind of factor in the way you watch sports, value players, value possession, anything like that?
I don't get into analytics.
I
just try to watch as a fan. I think you can get too caught up in things. And the reason why we love sports is because we grew up just watching it. We didn't have an agenda. There was nothing else there attached to it. We didn't worry about ratings or demographics or whatever it might be. It was just you watch. And I try to get back into that vacuum when I watch a sporting event, and that is just immerse yourself in it and enjoy it. And then you come back up for air when it's all said and done, and then you start to kind of process it. But I don't do a deep dive or try not to.
Well, in terms of, diving deeper into the two football games this weekend, we are incredibly compelled by the quarterback battles, as I think everyone is and everyone should be. Is there anything deeper, though, that should be getting more attention beyond Brady versus Rodgers? We assume Mahomes is going to play. Mahomes versus Allen.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get kind of sucked into that vortex. That is, let's just focus on the quarterbacks. And then on Monday, we're going to be saying, can you believe such and such made that play or didn't make that play? That's usually what it comes down to. If you look at some of the biggest games, in our history, in Super Bowl history, how many times do you get an outlier who comes in and sort of steals the headline? And I think that that's because we focus so much on that position, because it's the toughest position in any sport to play, but we forget all of the other players that you have to have to have your quarterback get to that moment to be able to play in a big game like this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we saw that even in the Bucks Saints game. As much as Brady played well, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He was essentially a system quarterback. I mean, it was the defense that won them that game. That was the storyline.
Yeah, and that's what we sometimes forget, is you'll have somebody make a play or two, and I thought that the Buccaneers defense won that game for them with the three interceptions, and they just seemed younger and fresher on defense. And then Brady's job is, you know, you don't want to say he's a game manager, but he is. He's going to manage a game, and that used to be a compliment when I was growing up, when you had Bart Starr, the Packers, or Bob Greasy, or Johnny Unitas. Like, they managed a game because you take your spots where you take your chances there. Too many times nowadays, you'll get these guys who think that they can just go out there and make it seem like they're playing in the Big 12 where there's no defense. Brady is managing a game. Drew Brees had to manage a game. It's just Drew Brees was so limited in what he could do with his arm. Now you get Josh Allen and you get Patrick Mahomes, the younger quarterback. Can they manage a game when you need to manage a game instead of trying to force something to happen? That's something that Brady, Peyton Manning, Montana, all the greats realize. If it's not there, there's nothing wrong with living to see another play. That's what I'm curious about in the AFC, because Josh Allen's going to want to get in and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, whereas Rodgers is going to take his chances when they're there. He'll be opportunistic, and then Brady's going to do the same. I don't think Brady goes, well, I got to get into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. He won't win that. But I think Josh Allen may think in his mind, hey, I could win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, and that could be dangerous.
You can hear the Dan Patrick Show every morning right here on TSN Radio. We're chatting with Dan, and the early theme of this conversation has been the evolution of sports and sports talk, and the GOAT conversation is something that comes up naturally all the time, and I hear you guys talk about it. We talk about it. And we were discussing Drew Brees and his legacy yesterday, Dan, and I think he's a victim of the GOAT debate, where I don't think he has to explain anything. I don't think he needs to try to basically sell people on how great of a career he had. I've heard some people suggest he shortchanged himself or New Orleans because he only got one Super Bowl, only got to one Super Bowl. I guess he got to a couple, I think. But I see him as a top 10 quarterback. I see his story as incredibly compelling. His name is all over the record books. And just because he's not Tom Brady doesn't mean that he isn't a great player. I think the GOAT debate has changed everything, and it doesn't allow us just to see a player for what he is and appreciate that. Where do you stand on Brees and his story?
Yeah, I think it's a great point that if you're not the greatest, then we denigrate you. And it's not fair to those who have come before all these great quarterbacks, where we didn't do this when I was growing up. You just said, boy, that guy's great. You didn't go, well, is he ninth on the list? Is right. Is he seventh on the list? Now everything is a ranking. Everything's ranked. You got to rank everybody. I hate the ranking. Do you realize Aaron Rodgers was 12th on a ranking list of quarterbacks going into this season? 12. And now he's going to be the MVP. That's why.
Is that slam dunk,
Dan,
by the way? Is that slam dunk MVP? Aaron Rodgers, that's slam dunk? Okay.
Yeah, in my opinion. I think what hurt Mahomes is the last couple of games didn't mean anything. He didn't put up, you know, big numbers, and Aaron Rodgers did. And sometimes it's that last moment, that last memory that people think about, and they go, boy, Aaron Rodgers has been great against the Bears here. Okay, Mahomes was great during the regular season, but I thought Aaron Rodgers, and plus the writers, as you guys know, they love a good story. You know, you got to write another Patrick Mahomes story. Aaron Rodgers, this is a great story. Coming back, they draft a quarterback. You know, he's not sure how long he's going to stay in Green Bay, and then he has maybe the greatest season of his career. And I think you got to factor that in as well. But when you start to compare generations, that's where I think you get in. It's just dangerous, because if I was going to say who's the best basketball player of all time, I wouldn't say Bill Russell, but I would say prior to 1970, I would say Bill Russell. After 1970, then I think we can have a conversation about it. But Bill Russell in today's game would be a marginal player. He just would be. Now, he might be more athletic, but he couldn't shoot. He was on a great team with 8 or 9 Hall of Famers, maybe the greatest coach and GM of all time. but in today's NBA, he wouldn't survive. You know, would Wilt be great here? Jerry West, you know, these guys, Oscar Robertson. But then, you know, we want to go, well, LeBron and Michael, and then who else is on the list? Do you realize that one day we're going to go, you know, Larry Bird's not in the top 10 anymore? One day that'll happen.
Right.
Because there's only 10 that can be in the top 10, and we keep going, well, that guy's a top 10 player, and then Kobe, and then you put in Shaq, and then you got to put in, and all of a sudden you're going to go, gosh, where'd Magic go? Where'd Larry go? And that's where I hate to see this happen with people who didn't see them play. I got to see everybody play but Bill Russell in person. And I just always caution people. You know, if you didn't see them, you didn't understand the impact that they could have or how great they were in their era. And, you know, we tend to just look at stats and go, oh, yeah, I know how good that guy was or wasn't. And I think Drew Brees falls into that. It's like you only had one Super Bowl. You threw for 80,000 yards. If he threw for 50,000, we might be more lenient with him and go, hey, he threw for 50,000 and he threw for, you know, 307 touchdowns. He won a Super Bowl. We might look at that as that he overachieved. Now we look at him and say he underachieved.
Another quarterback story in the NFL, Dan, is the Deshaun Watson in Houston. It was massive deal, loses his main target, and now things have seemed to be gone completely south. How do you see this playing out here? Because he apparently is not responding to the organization, and it's just a mess there. How do you see it all playing out?
I think we lost Dan. We'll see if we can get him back.
It was a good
on.
Question, though.
That was, yeah, I want to see it because every day it's going more and more south for that relationship. Oh, do we have you, Dan? We can hear you now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it goes a lot deeper than just football moves. I think that, you know, there's race involved in this. I think there's a lot involved in this with Deshaun. And I think that he sees this organization and looks around and goes, this is Groundhog Day. Nothing changed. You changed names, changed people. But, you know, they wanted to have a celebratory party commemoration when Obama was elected president. Players did. And from what I'm told, the owner wouldn't allow him to do it. So there's more things involved in this, and I think will probably come out. But I think Deshaun Watson, I'd be surprised if he's there the start of this next season. Because, first of all, the team isn't good. Salary cap hell. J.J. Watt won't be there next year. You don't have any draft picks. You didn't get a chance to say anything about who you wanted to be your coach. Unless they hire Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs, who Deshaun wants, I can't imagine he's going to go, yep, I'm ready to go to battle for this organization and win four games again this year.
Well, and that's exactly been that's been the history down there, as you just pointed out. And as we shift to the NBA, we're chatting with Dan Patrick, the Brooklyn Nets with a win last night. And Kyrie Irving, I guess, is coming back tomorrow night. That's our understanding. I guess it's completely unknown until we see him. But if this works out, if Brooklyn goes on a run, gets to an NBA final, maybe wins a title, is that a good thing for the NBA? How do you think we should be reacting to that?
Yeah, because you're looking for a storyline. What's the storyline in the NBA this year? There really isn't one. And the Nets came along and gave us a storyline that we can follow. And, you know, you can guarantee that Kyrie will add some drama to this, and maybe Harden does as well. It's an East Coast team, so the East Coast media gets to see them, watch the games, report on them, talk shows, get to see the game in its entirety. So I think it was a godsend. I think it was something the NBA, although Adam Silver, the commissioner, probably wouldn't admit it, but he's probably secretly going, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I think you're right. It's the most compelling story right now, absolutely, in sports.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted. You know, we were looking for – we hadn't talked about the NBA very much. And this kind of came along, and you're like, that's one of the hot-button topics here.
Yep, you got us for sure moving forward. You can hear him every morning right here on TSN Radio on the Dan Patrick Show, Dan and the Danettes, and it's always great to catch up with you, Dan. Enjoy the upcoming weekend in football and the Super Bowl down the road, and we'll do this again at some point. Thank you for this.
One of these days, we get back in Toronto, and thank you again, guys, for all the support. We appreciate it.
You got it, absolutely. There he is, Dan Patrick. Every morning right here on TSN 1050. So, yeah, I mean, he makes a good point about the NBA just kind of being there. And even from our standpoint with the Raptors, they're not even in their hometown. You know, they're in Tampa. They're out of sight, out of mind. They had such a poor start. I think that affected a lot of people's views, although they're storming back now. I mean, last night was the most impressive effort they put forth all year.
Dude, I have no idea how the location of something on television factors in. And I know when they're crossing over with the Maple Leafs, I'm tuning into the hockey game. I'll have them on a separate TV. But it's like down in Tampa, when it's there's no difference. Down in Tampa and here, but for some reason, there's a difference, Hayes.
What the difference is, guys like Jonas, is in the rink watching the practice this morning. But what I mean is our people, quote-unquote, that cover the team, they're not there. And that's a big part of the whole journey. It's like
right. It's like covering the Raptors, and then at the start of the article, it says Toronto. It's like, no, you're not. It's
yeah,
not
you're
in Toronto.
Exactly. Josh is writing that from Toronto. They're down in Tampa, where Josh would be down there at the facility. You know, he'd be at the OVO. He'd be covering it. You can sense they're not here. It's different. You can sense the Leafs are here. Like, you can sense that they're in town. You can't get to them.
Yeah.
You can't get into the building, but you can sense that they're here. And you don't with the Raptors, you didn't with the Blue Jays, and it's just a little bit different. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, every night they play, it's like I got to see it tomorrow night. If Kyrie's playing, I got to see what that looks like. I have to.
Yeah. And have we been too hard on him? Because now everyone's rolling out the list of all the charities, what he's done for people, and he's like, you don't know me, don't judge me.
Those are separate discussions. No one's suggesting you shouldn't do that or you don't get applauded for that. That's incredible. Good for you.
But I get it.
Just
I know.
Leaving your team for 7 games, you can't expect people to just sit there and say, oh, no problem, that's totally acceptable or totally fine. You know, I don't think it's fair to drag the personal life and the personal endeavors and maybe the charitable work and all that into a discussion about basketball. This was about the basketball team and the basketball player. You know, not the person. And I understand how it can become a bit of a gray area. I get it. But, like, if you're talking about the player and the team, you're not talking about the person and their personal lives.
We got to fly more of Ojo and Hazy B after the break.
All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. Mark Feinsand from MLB Network at 5:30. The Jays with a signing last night. Wasn't
Big
George
one.
Springer. It wasn't Trevor Bauer. Wasn't JT Realmuto, but it was a player that happens to play in the league, so it's a good start. You know, we're moving in the right direction. And the Leafs were in action tonight, a pretty impressive win, or last night, I should say. They played well last night, and they played well on Saturday night, and they play tomorrow, they play Friday, they play Sunday, pretty much every other night. It's a busy schedule. And you throw a new child into the mix, I got to think, I'm shocked Zach accepted this invitation. Shocked that Zach Hyman found time to come on with us, but we appreciate it. And he joins us now. Here's Zach Hyman. Zach, congrats. What's fatherhood been like?
Thanks. You know I always have time for you guys.
Yeah,
on,
we appreciate that. Yeah, you are
friend of the show.
Friend of the show. And
what does the wife think about that when you got diapers to deal with, pal?
Yeah, she's holding the fort down. But, no, it's been quite the adventure and quite the timing with the season and the hectic schedule, but it's been a blast.
Have you read any of your own books to your boy yet, or what?
I haven't read them yet, but I think it's going to be on tap soon. He's starting to kind of look around and explore a little bit more, so it's pretty cool to watch him develop every day.
Yeah, that would be cool. I have one of your books. We read it quite often. My older one and my younger one's getting into books, so.
All
you'll
right.
get there. You'll get there at that point
or
at some point for sure. You guys are playing well. You played really well last night, played well on Saturday night in Ottawa. And every year, you know, you bring in new guys and your team takes on a bit of a different feel. Is there anything in particular that does feel different about your team this year, early into the season, compared to last year?
Well, I think, like you said, every year is a little different with the dynamic of the group. And I know that I've had a blast with this group so far. We've been off to a good start. Obviously, we're 3-1, but just really enjoy being around these guys. Obviously, bringing in Jumbo's been awesome. Getting to know him a little bit, and Simmer and Bogosian and Brody. Like, we've brought in some real veterans, and it's been gelled great, and it's been great to get to know everybody.
Zach, there's team camaraderie and guys like getting together. How do you kind of do that in this, the way the world is right now? I know the COVID protocols are strict. Like, to after a game, it's not like, hey, let's go out and just grab dinner or anything like that. How do you kind of form that bond as a team during these times right now?
Yeah, it's really hard. You got to abide by the rules and the protocols in place, and even for eating and for where you sit on the plane, everything is, or on the bus, everything is by assigned seating right now. So it definitely puts a wrinkle into things. But we're around each other so much at the rink that you know you can build those bonds at the rink. Our schedule is so crazy that we're there all the time. Even on our off days, we have to go and get tested. So lots of time spent together, even though it's a little different this year than most.
I fully expected this this season to be thoroughly entertaining based on it being in the All-Canadian division. You know, like every night there's another Canadian team, and as a fan of the sport, I'm just so connected to the Canadian teams, more so than any team in the States. What's it been like, you know, early into the season, but your first impressions on the All-Canadian division, and does it feel different? How fun has it been, and where do you see this going all year?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. It definitely feels different in the sense that there's a bunch of differences. Every game that you play is a divisional game, so every game means so much more and matters so much more. You play the same teams, I think 9 or 10 times, so way more than you usually would, and a lot of the situations are back-to-back, so you can always kind of get right back at it. You know, for instance, we lost to Ottawa the first night, and then we got another shot at them. So it's definitely different. It's lots of fun. There's such high-end skill in the Canadian division. We get to play against teams like Vancouver and Calgary, Edmonton and Winnipeg. We don't really see that often, and we get to go out and play those guys, you know, 9 or 10 times. So from a fan perspective, it's awesome. And then from a player perspective this year, it's pretty cool to be a part of it.
Well, you got McDavid and the boys in town tomorrow, and then they stick around. They play here on Friday night. So you got Edmonton, you know, two times in a row over the course of three nights. And how would the scouting process, I guess, play out? Like, you guys have a pre-scout for the game tomorrow night. Will you readdress that on Thursday, or basically know where you're going Wednesday night and you'll just apply it on Friday night? How do you see that kind of changing the way you go about your routine, playing the same team multiple times, you know, day after day after day?
Yeah, no, I think that you definitely can adjust to what they're doing. I think in the Ottawa game, we really only watched clips on what they were doing from last year because they hadn't played yet. And then after we played them, we were able to kind of watch what they're doing more so. I think even more so on the special teams, it helps on that side of things. But yeah, with Edmonton, I think that it always helps. When you play a team, you kind of get a feel for what works and what doesn't work, and then you can kind of adjust. But they're doing the same thing too, so kind of like a mini playoff series almost. I think we actually have Edmonton 4-6 coming up, so we'll be seeing them a ton.
Zach, Brian Hayes loves the Connor McDavid goals. He goes through the group chat. And so, I'm not saying you're a super fan, but he's like, you got to see this goal McDavid scored. Like, does that make any sense for you guys to look at that on a tape? And like, you've been around a while now. Is there any way to stop that? Or it's like, there's no situation. This guy can grab the puck anywhere on the ice and do that. It's just, I don't know. It's just hope for the best, I guess, isn't it, against a guy like that?
Yeah, I think against a guy like that, you really have to get him as early as possible. If you let him build up his speed and you know, get going, then there's not really much you can do. So I think just trying to get in his way early. He's a generational type player, and him and Drysdale, you always have to be aware when they're on the ice and just be, you think that they're going to get what they're going to get. You just try to limit it and not give them anything more, right? I think that they're great players and they can generate their own chances, but try not to help them.
We're chatting with Zach Hyman, the Leafs back in action tomorrow night with Edmonton in town. Go ahead, Jonas.
Well, Zach, I was just wondering, Jeff and I are having this philosophical debate, I guess you could call it. So are you on Team Corsi or Team iTest? That's what I want to know.
I don't look into the Corsi stats and all that stuff.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Jonas. I mean, I'm a player. I go out there and play. I don't
That's right, Zach. That's what players do. We play to win the game, Jonas.
Yeah.
That's what these guys don't understand.
Jeff, do you know how many shots Zach had last night?
What? No, you know what? Zach doesn't know. Zach doesn't know either because they won the game. You know what Zach cares about? He dominated on the forecheck, and every time he was in there, he got the puck first, and they took it to the net.
How many shots did you have, Zach? Do you know how many you had?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I only know because people were telling me afterwards. When I came off, I thought I had quite a few because I had a bunch of chances, but I didn't know how many shots until somebody said I had 10, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But that was, I guess, a pretty cool stat. But yeah, no, you just kind of go. Jeff knows you go out there and you play and you just try to do good things on the ice when you're out there.
Thank you. You've been Jonas, a great guest today.
You can respond, Jonas. If you got, did you write about Zach's 10 shots in the Athletic today?
Sorry,
5,000 word article in the Athletic about Zach's shot attempts last night. That should be.
Zach can expand on it, but as a player, you're not thinking about different statistical categories.
I'm not.
You know, I know, but you know your skill set and what you bring to the table, and the goal is to bring that every night to help the team win. End of story. Zach, comment, please.
No, I think you nailed it. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, you nailed it there. But I think, you know, just taking advantage of what's given. I think that we're kind of driving the net more and just trying to create more. We throw more pucks on the net. And I don't know. I don't know how why I got 10 shots. I just was going out there and trying to play the way that I play, and I happened to get those opportunities.
Well, you guys played really well last night, and continues tomorrow night. Every other night all year, it's going to be a really, really fun ride. And, you know, congrats on the early success. Congrats on, you know, bringing the boy into the world, and good luck moving forward. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Zach Hyman. New dad, Zach Hyman, with 10 shots last night. He's probably thinking that was a pretty good accomplishment. I'm thinking. And he played well last night. He was all over the net. He had chances. And
dominant on the forecheck.
Yep. There you go.
And you got to, like, it's not fun when a new guy comes to town, 41-year-old jumbo, and you look up at the lineup sheet and you're not there and he's in your spot. It's like, welcome the new guys and everything, but that's not cool. You're not. That's something that'll piss you off and get you going.
Well, he's playing pretty well. And if they keep going 11 forwards all year, it doesn't really matter where you are. You know, when the puck drops, you're going to play a ton, and you're going to play with a lot of different players, too, right? You got to find different combinations. We saw that last night. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Mark Feinstein from MLB Network as well. Brent Burns still to come in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.